Good morning. It is Sunday, September 6, 2026. This is Artificially Intelligent News. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with artificial intelligence and fact-checked against authoritative reporting available as of early Sunday morning Eastern Time. We begin with voting rules ahead of the midterm elections. A federal judge on Friday extended a block on the U.S. Postal Service carrying out President Trump's executive order seeking to limit mail voting. The preliminary injunction replaces a temporary order that had been due to expire September 10. The ruling does not decide the final merits of the challenge, but it means the Postal Service cannot implement the administration's plan while the case proceeds, as some states begin sending ballots to voters. The dispute is another reminder that election administration is divided among the states, while federal agencies and courts can still shape the practical rules surrounding access to ballots. In Texas, a Trump-aligned political group has made an early and expensive move in a Senate race that could draw national attention all fall. A filing with the Federal Election Commission shows MAGA Incorporated is spending $10 million on TV and digital advertising. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is the Republican nominee after defeating incumbent Senator John Cornyn in the primary runoff. His Democratic opponent is State Representative James Tallarico. The advertisements focus on taxes, portraying Tallarico's positions as broad tax increases and Paxton's as tax relief for families and first-time homebuyers. It is the group's first major general election spending in a premier Senate contest this cycle. Texas has long favored Republicans in statewide races, but Democrats see the contest as a test of whether the political map is becoming more competitive. The money is not a forecast of the outcome. It is evidence that both parties expect a real fight. A closely watched legal test over artificial intelligence is beginning in Minnesota. Elon Musk's company XAI has sued the state over a law aimed at so-called nudification technology, which can be used to generate fake nude images of real people. Minnesota's law was scheduled to take effect Saturday and is described as the first statewide effort to ban that technology on websites and apps. XAI says it agrees that non-consensual distribution of AI-generated intimate images should be prohibited. But the company argues the law sweeps more broadly than that purpose, potentially covering protected expression and imposing penalties of up to $500,000 per violation. Minnesota lawmakers and supporters say the measure is intended to address a rapidly growing form of digital abuse. The lawsuit puts two public interests in direct tension: protecting people from fabricated sexual images, particularly minors, and defining the constitutional limits on how states regulate the tools that can create them. A federal court will now be asked to decide where that line falls. The Education Department has also released a major school civil rights data collection with a notable change. An Associated Press review found that data concerning non-binary students and bullying based on gender identity had been replaced in the federal dataset, with a notation saying it was suppressed in compliance with executive order. The civil rights data collection covers nearly every public school in the country and is commonly used by researchers, parents, educators, and policymakers to assess discipline, access, and student experiences. The newly released figures cover the 2023 through 2024 school year, when the survey included a non-binary category alongside male and female. The administration says it is realigning the Office for Civil Rights with its statutory mission and says more data will be released in coming weeks. Critics say removing these categories makes it harder to measure whether particular students face unequal treatment. Whatever the legal and policy arguments, the immediate change is that information previously available in a national education dataset is no longer presented there. As the fall respiratory virus season approaches, leading American medical organizations are urging people to seek updated flu and COVID-19 vaccinations. Their joint guidance is intended to give patients and clinicians clearer advice amid changing federal recommendations. Updated flu shots are beginning to be offered, and updated COVID vaccines are arriving after Food and Drug Administration approval last week. The groups also point to RSV vaccination for people who meet the relevant age or risk guidelines. Their recommendations are not a substitute for an individual discussion with a clinician. But the organizations say long-standing evidence supports seasonal protection, especially for older adults, young children, pregnant people, and people with certain medical conditions. The CDC has not issued new fall guidance and has pointed providers to last year's flu recommendations. For listeners considering a vaccine, availability and insurance coverage can vary by state and provider, so checking with a doctor, pharmacy, or local health department remains the practical next step. In Washington, a piece of ceiling fell Friday evening in the Kennedy Center's grand foyer. The center says no one was hurt. Photographs released by the institution showed debris on the red carpet and a hole in the ceiling of a hallway connecting its three main performance auditoriums. A spokesperson said stormy weather was occurring in the Capitol and called the incident further evidence for a proposed shutdown and renovation. The Kennedy Center's Trump-aligned board is pursuing plans to close the venue for 2 years for an estimated $250 million in renovations. It is also fighting in court over plans to add President Trump's name to the building's exterior. The episode does not resolve those disputes. It does make the building's upkeep an immediate public safety and cultural infrastructure question rather than only a political argument over the future of a national arts institution. And looking beyond this year's midterms, Turning Point Action is organizing aggressively in Iowa for the Republican presidential caucuses of 2028. The conservative youth organization says it wants at least one staff member in each of Iowa's 99 counties to mobilize grassroots voters. The effort comes after the assassination last year of Turning Point's founder, Charlie Kirk. The group has drawn attention through confrontations at public events and social media campaigns, but its larger objective is a durable local political network. No major Republican presidential candidates have announced for 2028, and the next election is still distant. Even so, Iowa remains the opening contest in the Republican nominating process, making early organization meaningful. Now to the economy and markets. U.S. financial markets are closed for the Labor Day holiday on Monday, so Friday was the most recent completed American trading session. At Friday's final close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 271.86 points, or 0.5%, to 53,414.25. The S&P 500 lost 29.11 points, or 0.4%, to 7,718.60. The Nasdaq Composite fell 77.07 points, or 0.3%, to 26,506.99. Those were final closes, not futures or intraday readings. Stocks and treasury prices moved after a jobs report that was stronger than economists expected. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says employers added 162,000 non-farm jobs in August, while the unemployment rate held at 4.1%. The report also revised June and July payrolls upward by a combined 55,000 jobs. Food services and drinking places added 59,000 jobs in August, while local government education added 42,000. The information industry lost jobs. For households, the report is good news in the straightforward sense that more people were hired. For the Federal Reserve, it complicates a difficult decision. Inflation remains above the central bank's 2% objective, and a stronger labor market gives policymakers less reason to worry that higher interest rates would abruptly weaken employment. Markets raised their expectations for a rate increase at the Fed's September 15th and 16th meeting. That is still only an expectation, not a decision. Inflation reports due this week will be important before policymakers meet. Fuel costs remain a second pressure point. The national average price for diesel reached $5.85 a gallon on Friday, according to reporting based on AAA data. That is a record in nominal terms and is about 56% above the average before the Iran war began in late February. Diesel matters beyond truck stops. It powers freight trucks, trains, farm equipment, fishing boats, and many delivery networks. Higher fuel costs can take time to reach consumers, but they can add to the price of food, packages, furniture, and other goods moved through the supply chain. Regular gasoline averaged $4.15 a gallon, also sharply higher than a year ago. Energy costs, inflation, hiring, and interest rates are now moving together in a way Americans are likely to feel far beyond the market screen. Overseas, the most urgent development remains the confrontation between the United States and Iran around the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. military said Saturday that it struck three Iranian oil tankers after Navy warships were targeted with ballistic missiles. It warned that it could destroy what it called Iran's limited and exposed oil fleet if necessary. Iran has disputed the American account of events in several recent incidents. On Sunday, Iranian authorities said they had struck an unmanned U.S. vessel trying to enter the strait. Independent confirmation of the competing operational claims is limited, which is important to keep in mind amid a fast-moving conflict. The escalation matters because the Strait of Hormuz is a vital route for global energy supplies. Commercial ships have already faced serious disruption, and the resulting pressure on crude oil and diesel is reaching consumers and businesses in the United States. There has been no announcement of a diplomatic breakthrough. The immediate risk is that another exchange at sea could deepen the military conflict and further constrain shipping. In Moscow, Russian President Vladimir Putin met Saturday with U.S. envoys Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner in another attempt to revive negotiations over Russia's war in Ukraine. The meeting lasted more than 3 hours. Putin's foreign policy advisor described it as constructive, frank, and useful, but there was no announced agreement or breakthrough. The envoys were expected in Kyiv on Sunday. The talks occurred while Russia and Ukraine continued aerial attacks, although Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky agreed to pause strikes on each other's capitals while the meeting took place. That pause is narrow and temporary, not a ceasefire. The core issues remain unresolved: territory, security guarantees, the future of Ukraine's military, and the terms of any settlement both governments could accept. The renewed contacts are significant because direct high-level diplomacy had lost momentum. But the absence of a deal after the Moscow meeting is the clearest measure of how hard the larger negotiation remains. In sports, college football's opening weekend produced its first genuinely strange finish in Ann Arbor. Number 16 Michigan beat Western Michigan 13-12, but only after officials ruled that 1 second remained following an unsuccessful Hail Mary attempt. The stadium clock had appeared to show no time left. Given the extra second, Michigan quarterback Bryce Underwood found J.J. Buchanan for a 47-yard touchdown. The result sent fans onto the field and delivered a dramatic debut for Michigan coach Kyle Whittingham. Western Michigan had forced 3 turnovers, and its kicker Dieter Kelly made all 4 of his field goal attempts. That is why the ending was so painful for the Broncos and so contentious for anyone watching the clock. The final call stands, and Michigan begins the season 1-0, but the game will be remembered as much for the officiating sequence as for the score. Tennis had its own high-attention return at the U.S. Open. Venus and Serena Williams played doubles together at a Grand Slam for the first time since the 2022 U.S. Open. In a packed Arthur Ashe Stadium, they lost a 3-hour, 2-minute first-round match to the 14th-seeded team of Hao Ching Chan and Maya Joint. Chan and Joint won 6-3, 6-7 in a tiebreaker and 7-6 in a deciding tiebreaker. Venus is 46 and Serena is 44, and the sisters were competitive throughout a match that had a full arena, treating an opening doubles round like a major event. The loss ends this particular doubles run, but it does not diminish the scale of the occasion. The Williams sisters won 14 major doubles titles together and 3 Olympic gold medals as a team. Their appearance was a reminder of their shared place in American sports history and of the unusual power a comeback can have even without a victory. A quick results roundup from Saturday. Michigan edged Western Michigan 13-12 on the final play touchdown. LSU opened the Lane Kiffin era with a 51-10 win over Clemson after a lengthy lightning delay. Number 2 Oregon held off Boise State 34-27. Number 1 Ohio State beat Ball State 56-3 behind quarterback Julian Sayin and receiver Jeremiah Smith. And in Formula 1 qualifying at Monza, Alpine's Pierre Gasly took the first pole position of his career for the Italian Grand Prix, ahead of George Russell and Oscar Piastri. We close with a note from American culture. Poet, editor, author, and second-wave feminist Robin Morgan has died at 85. Her son, musician Blake Morgan, said she died Saturday in New York after a series of health problems. Morgan first became known as a child performer in radio and television. As an adult, she became a central figure in the women's liberation movement and helped shape its writing, organizing, and public arguments. She edited the anthology Sisterhood is Powerful, wrote poetry and essays, and worked with activists including Gloria Steinem and Jane Fonda. Her death came only days after Steinem's. For supporters and critics alike, Morgan was a forceful and consequential voice in a movement that changed American law, work, family life, and public language. Her career stretched from mid-century entertainment into decades of political and literary work. That is the briefing for this Sunday: a legal fight over mail ballots, a consequential jobs report and rising fuel costs, heightened danger in the Strait of Hormuz, renewed but unresolved Ukraine diplomacy, and an opening weekend of football that already supplied a Finnish people will debate. Please follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. Thank you for listening and take good care.